taking their place in a long true line of everyday Americans,
helping to secure the blessings of liberty to ourselves and our posterity. This is the Constitution Study on the America Out Loud Network with your host, Paul Engel.
Pay the bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors and have a few good friends. Every day you were everyday Americans.
Hello there, everyday Americans, and welcome to the Constitution Study. This is where we read and study the Constitution. We teach the rising generation to be free. I am glad you could join me. If you've listened to this program for any length of time, you pretty much know my thoughts on political parties. A pox on both their houses. At best, you've got the lesser of two evils, and even that's still evil. But it's interesting because I meet a lot of people that honestly believe that, well, if we elect the right president, if we put the right party in charge of Congress, well, then everything will magically be okay. We'll fix all of our problems. All of the issues will disappear. And the sad thing is, history shows that's never the case. That has never, at least in the history that I'm aware of, never has the changing of the guard in Congress or the presidency had a significant change in what's been going on in the country. Sure, there are small shifts, but those are minuscule corrections in the corruption and the theft of rights and liberty that has become the United States of America. And a perfect example is the quote-unquote infrastructure bill, or as I like to call it, the Let's Bribe America with Their Own Money bill. Now, let's start off right off the bat. Everybody who complains about RINOs, Republicans in name only, because they're not conservative, understand, Republicans participated in the infrastructure bill. And the vast majority of the infrastructure bill is illegal. It is unconstitutional. It is a crime. The federal government is not authorized. The United States is not authorized to maintain any infrastructure except post roads. Everything else remains with the state. It is a violation of the 10th Amendment. It is a violation of the rights of the state. It is a violation of the people's right to consent to their government. We did not consent to this. We did not authorize this in the Constitution. And the 10th Amendment says any power not delegated to the United States by the Constitution is either remains with the states, or if it's prohibited the states, remains with the people. So every time Congress or any part of the federal government exercises a power not specifically delegated to it by the Constitution, they are committing fraud. They are stealing the rights of someone else. They are stealing the powers of others. So we had this infrastructure bill. This is pork on pork. This is sheer bribery. This is bribery on a scale heretofore unheard of. I mean, they start at $3.5 trillion. I know that's a hard number to understand. $3.5 million. That means if you were to take the net wealth of a millionaire, someone worth $1 million, we would call them the 1%, the rich, the dirty, filthy rich, some people like to call them, $1 million, you're a millionaire. It would take $3.5 million of them to pay for this, for what they wanted for the infrastructure bill. Oh no, that's too expensive. I heard a reporter and I heard pundit and I heard politician complain it was too expensive. You know, I didn't hear anybody say, we don't have the legal authority to do this. So what happens? Well, then they negotiate. Oh, well, we'll play a little here. We'll bribe some of your people. We'll bribe some of your people. Okay, maybe we won't bribe these people quite so much, but we'll take some of that money and we'll bribe your people. And you end up with bipartisan theft, a pox on both of their houses. Everybody in Congress who voted for this bill violated their oath of office, because it is not supported by the Constitution of the United States. And then I found this interesting little gem. Seems that Republican Ohio Senator Rob Portman, he snuck his own piece of bribery into this bill. Now, he called it the Digital Equality Act of 2021. He put on his website, today, U.S. Senator Pat Murray, Chair of Senate Health and Education, Labor and Pensions Committee, Senator Rob Portman, and Senator Angus King introduced new bipartisan legislation aimed at closing the growing digital divide in communities across the country. The Digital Equality Act of 2021 would create new federal investments targeted toward a diverse array of projects at the state and local level to produce digital equity, a concept defined by the National Digital Inclusion Alliance as a condition in which all individuals and communities have the information technology capacity needed for full participation in our society, democracy, and economy. I'm sorry, this is verbal diarrhea. All right, notice, you have Senator Pat Murray, a Democrat. You have Senator Rob Portman, a Republican, and Senator Angus King, an independent. So all their parties are involved here. See, they have this bipartisan legislation. Whenever they say there's bipartisan agreement, someone's coming after you. They're coming after your wallet, or they're coming after your rights. So they introduced this legislation. They introduced this into the abomination that is the infrastructure bill. And they sell it as, oh, well, we're going to make it easier for you to get broadband internet access. And everybody goes, ooh, internet access. We like internet access. You fools. This is stealing from you. First of all, the federal government does not invest in anything. Why? Because the federal government doesn't have its own money. Every dime the federal government has, it either took from the American people or borrowed in the American people's name. So the federal government does not have money to invest. They say it's targeted toward a diverse array of projects at the state and local level. Oh, so what they're really doing is they're going to take your money to bribe your state to do something. You're now our participant. The money's being taken out of your wallet. It's being extorted by the government's going to extort it from you at the point of a gun. Then they're going to use it to bribe states and local communities to increase internet access. Now, trust me, I run an internet organization. I live on the internet. I record my radio program and upload it over the internet. I publish articles. I publish videos. I comment on articles. I am involved I'm on the internet each and every day. And I live in a rural community, so I have not great internet access. But the last thing I want is the federal government getting its fingers into the internet. Because you know this money is going to come with strings. Even if it doesn't come with strings today, they're going to add strings tomorrow. See, the ends do not justify the means. This is the federal government saying, we believe better than you. We believe what's the best way to come up with internet access. Therefore, we are going to take your money and spend it the way we want because we know better than you do. And this was done by a Republican, a Democrat, and an independent. A pox on all of their houses. If you think a political party is going to fix what is wrong in this country, you are on a fool's errand. And I'm sorry, but it's true. You're all worried about who is going to have what seats in Congress. You're rearranging deck chairs on the Titanic. Our country is drowning in intolerance, in Marxism, in an inability to allow others to live and let live, in an inability to allow liberty and freedom of others, in a totalitarian mindset that says, I must get my way, and if I need the government to do it for me, I will do it. We are drowning, and you're worried about who's sitting in what chair. You know what? George Washington was right. Political parties will be the destruction of this country. See, in his farewell address, he said, the alternate domination of one faction over another, sharpened by the spirit of revenge natural to party dissension, which in different ages and countries has perpetuated the most horrid enormities, is itself a frightful despotism. What have I been talking about? I've been talking about tyranny and despotism. And here we have people going, oh, if we just get the right Republicans in office. No, they do the same thing just for different reasons. But it's even worse. Washington went on, he said, but this leads at length to a more formal and permanent despotism. The disorders and miseries which result gradually incline the minds of men to seek security and repose in the absolute power of an individual. And sooner or later, the chief of some prevailing faction, more able or more fortunate than his competitors, turns this disposition to the purpose of his own elevation on the ruins of public liberty. Hello, 2016 election, 2020 election, everybody, what are they doing? They're setting their minds on finding a person that will save them. They are looking, they are seeking security in the absolute power of an individual. It could be Trump, it could be Biden, it could be somebody else. And what happens? They assume more and more and more power. We've got Biden saying, we're just going to institute, we don't care if it's constitutional anymore. We're just simply going to institute new COVID restrictions. Oh, the Supreme Court recognizes that it is unconstitutional for the CDC to issue an eviction mandate. So we're going to let it expire, but it's wrong, bad, shame on you. Shame on you, CDC. What does Biden do? He turns right around and issues another one. That's despotism. And it's there because we have let parties be in control. So now we have a bipartisan, or in this case, a tripartisan bill that turns around and says the government knows the best way to get you internet access. Now, again, I spent 30 years in IT, so I know more than most the problems with getting internet access out to rural areas. I understand it. It's called the last mile problem. And to be honest, my experience is more often than not, it's government that's creating the problem or exacerbating the problem, not fixing the problem. So what they're going to do is they're going to take a boatload of your money and they're going to start handing it out to states and localities. Now, they've done this before. So again, I spent 30 years in IT. I spent the last 20 as a data center systems engineer. And you know what? Every government organization I dealt with over 20 years, ever since this they call it E-rate, this again, government money, federal money for internet access for schools and communities, every year, you know what they do? They twist themselves around to see how they can get more of that E-rate money. That's what matters. How much of that E-rate money can I get? Not what is the best service? Not what are the needs of my community? It's how do I get that money? This will not make rural internet better. This will simply put it more and more under control of the federal government. It is illegal. It is unconstitutional. And it seems that nobody cares because someone is getting a goodie. Oh boy, internet access. Which means not only are you being extorted to pay the bribe, you're willingly accepting the bribe. How do you feel now? But wait, there's more. Oh, that's right. You can't have a bill that's 2,700 pages long and not expect there to be more in there. See, buried deep down in the bowels of this abomination is a little test program for the U.S. Department of Transportation. Now, let's remember, nothing in the Constitution authorizes a U.S. Department of Transportation. So we're already on pretty shaky ground. But the bill directs the Secretary of Transportation to establish a pilot program to demonstrate a national motor vehicle per mile user fee designed to restore and maintain the long-term solvency of the Highway Trust Fund. So now the federal government is going to track every mile you drive. This pilot program is where they're going to figure out how to do it. How do we keep track of every mile you drive so that they can charge you an illegal user fee to restore an illegal highway trust fund. Tell me the federal government isn't the mafia. This is exactly what I've been saying. Both parties do it. We just happen to have the Democrats in charge. So they're going to test the pilot program is designed to test the design, acceptance, and implementation and financial sustainability of a national motor vehicle per mile user fee. It's going to address the needs for additional revenue from surface transportation infrastructure and national motor vehicle per mile user fee. It's going to provide recommendations relating to the adoption and implementation of a national motor vehicle per mile user fee. Now, don't forget, a user fee is just a euphemism for a tax. The federal government, that's right, the federal government wants to tax anything they can. They're going to issue an illegal tax. You go, wait, Paul, why is it illegal for the federal government to collect this tax? What could be wrong with that? Well, let's start with a couple of very important points. First, Article 1, Section 8, Clause 1 says Congress shall have the power to lay and collect taxes, duties, imposts, excises to pay the debts and provide for the common defense and general welfare of the United States. Tell me, which one of those is a national highway trust fund, huh? Oh, general welfare? I don't think so. You see, because James Madison noted in the cod fisheries debate that Congress does not, that the general welfare clause is not a open, anything Congress wants, Congress can do clause. He said that would be irrational. That's stupid. Why would you have a general taxing fund and then put limitations on what they collect taxes for? That's stupid. He literally said that if you were to allow that to happen, Congress would take control of roads other than post roads. Why is that important? Because Congress only has the authority, the only infrastructure Congress is authorized to pay for are post offices and post roads. Forts, arsenals, and other needful federal buildings. Right? This is a crime. So they're not legally allowed to collect this tax. But oh, it's even worse. It's not just that they're not allowed to collect taxes for roads and infrastructure for a highway trust fund. But Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3, it says representatives and direct taxes shall be apportioned among the several states. This is a direct tax on the American people that is not apportioned to the states. It is a crime. The only exception to Article 1, Section 2, Clause 3 is the 16th Amendment, which allows them to tax income. And if you can come up with a way to make taxing your use of highways an income tax, then there's something wrong upstairs. So they don't even bother. They don't even worry about the Constitution anymore. Why? Because we, the people, never hold them accountable. When was the last time you heard of a representative being fired for supporting an unconstitutional act like this? This is criminal. This is a violation of the rule of law. This is an abuse of power on a scale unheard of since the 1940s and FDR. And we're just sitting back going, oh, goody, they're going to come fix our potholes. No, they're going to fix the potholes. They're going to do a terrible job at it. The federal government's going to skim a boatload of money to spend on other things. Then they're going to figure out how they can track every mile you drive. Does that sound like an unreasonable search to you? Because that's exactly what it is, which means it's a violation of the Fourth Amendment. You are to be secure in your persons, houses, papers, and effects. You see, your car is your effects. And when you travel in your car, that's your person. And the federal government has no authority to search your driving habits, not without a reasonable cause, not without a warrant. But you see, they get by all of that because they pass these laws and nobody stands up and says no. This goes through because the American people sit back and let it happen. Abraham Lincoln said, the people are the rightful masters of both the Congress and courts. Not to overthrow the Constitution, but to overthrow the people who pervert the Constitution. Well, these people are perverting the Constitution. Democrats, Republicans, independents, what, America, are you going to do about it? What are you going to do about it? Because this is how tyranny and despotism reigns in America. The American people sit back and do nothing. How does evil succeed? Good people do nothing. I want to know how many of you have been on the phone to your representative. How many of you have even checked the vote of your representative? Did they vote for this abomination? I don't care if you like their party. That just means that you'll go to tyranny with a smile on your face. Is that really what you want? Are you really willing to sell your children's future to support a private political organization, to support a private corporation, a club? Really? No wonder Washington warned us about the spirit of party. Sadly, we have not learned that lesson. And America is drowning in tyranny and in debt and in servitude because the American people let their employees in Congress get away with such criminal acts that verge, literally verge, on the level of treason, of insurrection, of literally overthrowing the established government. The established government isn't President Biden. It isn't Nancy Pelosi. The established government is a constitution of the United States of America. That's what established the government. And these men and women are overthrowing it day after day after day after day. And we, the people, do nothing. And then we wonder where they get the great idea that they can order us around, that they can criminalize rights that are protected by the Constitution, that they can dictate to us how we live our lives, what we put in our bodies, that they can expect us to simply trust what they say no matter how many times they've lied to us. Why? How could they think that? Because they have decades of the American people sitting back and letting that happen and doing absolutely nothing. And it isn't simply at the federal level. This also happens at the state level. The Illinois governor, J.B. Pritzker, just signed legislation that will criminalize the private selling of a gun without going through a background check. The government wants to know where all the guns are. Why? Because they're afraid of the guns. Because they're afraid the people will finally wake up and realize what petty tyrants they are and what little power the government actually has. So now you have the governor of Illinois, you have the legislature of Illinois that's saying, we don't care about the Second Amendment. We don't care about your right to keep and bear arms. You have to come get our permission even to buy and sell your own guns among friends and family. And the American people do nothing. You know what? I'm to the point now where I actually have started remapping my route where I'm driving, because I'm going to my Knowing Your Rights tour. I've remapped my route. I've changed my route. I'm spending extra time on the road to avoid states like Illinois, because they've proven they spit on the Constitution of the United States and of their state. They don't care about they don't care about their oath. They don't care about anything, because the people of Illinois either want this to happen or just sit back and let this happen. First, they came for the gun owners. You did nothing because you weren't a gun owner. Then they came for the small business owner. You didn't do anything because you weren't a small business owner. Then they came for you. And there will be no one left to save you, to protect you, to stand up for you, because you have sold your future for the promise of a little bit of safety. And we know what Benjamin Franklin said about that. He said, "They who would give up an essential liberty for temporary security deserve neither liberty or security." So for all of you in Illinois willing to give up an essential liberty for the promise of a temporary safety, you deserve neither. You deserve to live as subjects because you have let this happen. And I certainly do not intend to help you do it. Preferably, I'd like to help wake you up. In fact, Illinois, all right, I'll tell you what, I will change my plans. I will go to Illinois. If someone in Illinois will put together some sort of event where I can come, preferably two or three throughout the state, and I can teach you about your rights and your liberty, then I'll go to Illinois. Other than that, I don't want anything to do with you because you're not interested in rights or liberty because you're letting this happen. Tell me, who in your legislature is going to lose their job over their vote for this legislation? Tell me, will the governor lose his job for signing this legislation? Why do we let this happen? Because the American people are generally ignorant about the Constitution, about their rights, and how to defend and assert them. That's why I'm spending this summer. That's why I'm traveling the country, helping to teach people about their rights. It's called the Knowing Your Rights Tour. You can find out more at constitutionstudy.com/tour, T-O-U-R. You can find dates, locations. You can find out an idea of what I'll be talking about, why this is important. Best of all, if you want to help, you can go down to the bottom. If I'm not coming to a location near you, there's a form to fill out to say, "Hey, Paul, will you come visit us? Will you come teach us?" I don't charge for these events. All I want is some way to help recoup my costs in doing it. You know, let me sell some books. Some people have donated. You want to donate to this cause? You want to help me go to other places? Go to the tour page. There's a donation form. You can help me bring the knowledge of rights and liberty to fellow Americans across the country. I am passionate about this because I've seen the destruction. I have had to talk to young people and tell them what it was like to live in America when men were free. Because our freedom is drastically diminished and is diminishing faster and faster every single day. It doesn't take that much work. You don't have to be a lawyer. You don't have to be a rocket scientist. But you do need to invest a little bit of time and effort, and you may have to sacrifice some conveniences. But what is your freedom worth? More importantly, what is your children's freedom and their children's freedom? What is that worth to you? To me, it's worth hitting the road and hoping that I can at least cover my expenses to help teach people about their rights. And I don't know about you, going on the road, that I'm looking forward to it, but I know it's a taxing thing to do, which is why I'm depending on Healthy Cell. Go to healthycell.com/outloud to get 20% off your first order. Healthy Cell has reinvented the vitamin. No longer a fistful of pills. A simple travel-ready gel pack is all it takes, one a day. They've got several different formulas. I'm looking at the focus and recall because I want to be sharp when I'm talking to people, when I'm teaching them, and when I'm answering their questions, because I get a lot of questions at these events. So try it, check it out. Go to healthycell.com/outloud for 20% off your first order. Be healthy, be safe, and help me help others learn about their rights.
Each of us is born with 30 trillion cells that make us. These cells determine how we feel, perform, sleep, focus, and how long we live. And to live our best life, all we have to do is feed our cells. But most food and supplements don't reach our cells, keeping us from reaching our full potential. Make every cell count with Healthy Cell. Founded with a mission to empower people to take control of their own health at the most fundamental level, Dr. Vincent Giampapa, world-renowned cell researcher and medical doctor, created supplements that work at the cellular level to boost immune health, sleep better, focus deeper, and stay younger longer. Go to HealthyCell.com and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off your first order of any product. And that's HealthyCell.com, HealthyCell, and use code OUTLOUD for 20% off.
As we celebrate our five-year anniversary, America Out Loud has expanded its mission through a newly designed website with a host of new contributors, all carrying a vibrant message of hope and survival for this country we love. AmericaOutLoud.com. Together, we'll secure the future for generations to come.
Welcome back, everyday Americans. We are talking bipartisan theft. The fact that you cannot trust a party because all of them are looking to steal something from you. They're looking to take your money. They're looking to take your rights. They're looking to take your liberty. They may disagree on what needs to be taken or how it needs to be taken, but they all are looking to take control, to take power and exercise power over you and over your family, to the destruction of your rights, your liberties, and your freedom. And as long as we are looking for a political party to save us, we are looking to our own enslavement. And really, can you think of a better example of a bipartisan enslavement of the American people than Dr. Fauci? He worked for a Republican president. He's working for a Democratic president. The man has prevaricated, flip-flopped, and twisted things for the entire COVID scaredemic. First, it was 2 weeks to flatten the curve. We need to don't wear masks. You'd be a fool to wear a mask. Then it was wear a mask. Then it was wear them outside. Then it was wear them inside. Then it was no, you only need to wear them outside. Then it was going to be 2 weeks to flatten the curve. Then it was 6 weeks to flatten the curve. Then it was, oh, well, the vaccines will save. Vaccines are the Messiah. Vaccines will save us all. And now they're saying, oh, by the way, a third COVID shot is entirely conceivable, maybe likely. That's right. When the vaccines didn't do what Fauci and the CDC said they were going to do, again, we were promised, we were told the vaccine will protect you from COVID-19. It will prevent you from getting COVID-19. In that aspect, it has failed. Now, it has proved pretty effective at minimizing the symptoms, which is a good thing. I'm not saying nobody should get the vaccine. I'm not saying the vaccines are bad. What I am saying is we don't know what the vaccines will do because they're too new. Nobody knows the long-term impact of the vaccine, either good or bad. They looked at the vaccine and said, oh, you know what? In short-term tests, it seemed to work really well. It's 90-some-odd percent effect, 95% effective. It's great. Then they start testing. Well, you know, after a few weeks, after a couple of months, it becomes less and less effective. And maybe now you're going to need a booster shot. This is a bipartisan bureaucratic hack. And I don't trust a word he says. He tells me the sky is blue. I'm going out to check. But you see, again, we've put our trust in petty bureaucrats, people with government paychecks. If somehow getting a government paycheck makes you a divine being, infallible, above the petty sins and inanities of regular people. This man's a buffoon. I wouldn't trust him with anything. I'm sorry, you've been wrong. Even if you say that it wasn't an intentional lie, it was just a misunderstanding. I didn't read the data. I didn't communicate to you everything about what I knew. I thought masks would work, not telling you that we didn't really test them. Not telling you that pretty much most of the epidemiologists I've heard were talking about how a virus passes right through most cloth and paper masks because it's a fraction of the size of the pores in the mask? Yeah, no, no. Or the others that said, you know, we've done studies and long-term wearing of masks is dangerous. I mean, even, like I said, Fauci at one point said masks were dangerous because it makes you fiddle with your face. But now he's touting them again. Then it was the vaccines will stop it. Now it just decreases the symptoms. Now we're going to need a third one. This is people voluntarily giving up their right to control their bodies, to control themselves. Listen, if you talk to your doctor, have them look at the CDC data and have an honest conversation with them about your risks. Don't take the normal claptrap. I was at the doctor's office again with my wife, and they have one of those information displays that keeps, you know, throwing up information, right? A propaganda screen is what I call it. It's the propaganda screen. And on there it said, you know, questions about the COVID-19 vaccine, you know. And question number one is, you know, does the COVID vaccine prevent COVID infections? And they said, yeah, it prevents COVID infections. Well, that's not true. But, you know, if you go to your doctor and you get real, you ask them to look for real data, ask them to look at the actual studies, the actual reports, the actual data, not what these bureaucrats are saying. Go to the data. You're a doctor. You should understand the basics of some of this stuff. I talk to my doctor, and my doctor's telling me you'd be nuts to get the vaccine. First of all, I have a 99.5% chance of surviving it if I do get COVID. Second of all, well, yeah, I'm overweight. I'm under 70 years old. You know, fairly healthy. If I do get sick, she's got medicines to treat it. So why would I take an experimental drug for a disease I most likely would survive? And if I do get it, I have drugs to mitigate the effects. Again, because we trust in politicians. Listen, he may not be running for political office, but Fauci has shown himself to be a politician and a bureaucrat, much more than a doctor. I honestly believe he's given up. He gave up being a doctor years ago. And everybody who's been telling me, hey, you know, you're crazy, you know, call me an anti-vaxxer. Listen, if it makes medical sense for you to get the vaccine, then get the vaccine. I don't have a problem with it. But stop trying to bully the rest of us who say, you know what, it doesn't make sense for me to get this vaccine. Because we look at it and say, it's still an experiment. And then I find this. See, the FDA is now adding a warning to the Johnson & Johnson vaccine. So if you've got the Johnson & Johnson vaccine, go read this warning. You see, now they have, 100 cases of Guillain-Barré, I think I'm mispronouncing that, Guillain-Barré syndrome, have been confirmed. And Johnson & Johnson is currently in discussion with the federal agents. So the FDA is now putting a warning on the fact sheet for the vaccine, letting them know the increased risk of Guillain-Barré. I don't know what Guillain-Barré is, but what I do know is I told you so. I told you that there's going to be unexpected consequences because this has not gone through testing. But I love this. The agency said the benefits of the vaccine outweigh the risks. According to who? The agency is committing medical malpractice. First of all, whoever at the agency said this is not a doctor, they are technically practicing medicine without a license. They just said in an official government entity that the benefits outweigh the risks. You don't know the risk for the individual. You may have an idea for the risk of the nation as a whole, but you've just proven you don't even know that for sure. So you don't know what the risks are. So how can you know that the benefits outweigh the risks? And since the benefit of this is if I get COVID and I had the vaccine, my symptoms will be less. That doesn't seem like a very high benefit that's got to be outweighed by the potential risk of this Guillain-Barré syndrome? What about the deaths that have been caused by the vaccine? I was talking to my doctor. The last time there was a vaccine that had 50 deaths, I forget what it was. Maybe it was a swine flu. I'm not sure about the vaccine. They reported 50 deaths, 50, 50 deaths, and the FDA pulled the vaccine. There have been over 11,000 deaths attributed to the three COVID vaccines in America. This is not a medical decision. These are not medical opinions. These are bureaucrats. These are politicians. These are government butt kissers. And I would not trust them. I wouldn't trust them with my worst enemy. To have the gall that says the benefits outweigh the risk, when you don't know the benefits, you don't know the risks, and you don't know the medical situation of the person you're talking to, is malfeasance. It's not a mistake. It's not an accident. It is an active case of intentional misinformation. And it's being promoted in many cases by both parties. Because remember, this all started with Fauci under Trump, the hated Trump. Tell me, why do you believe any of these parties? Why do you trust any of these people? Why do you think that hiring a Republican in office or putting Republicans in control of Congress will do anything to fix this? Remember when the Republicans ran for election after election about overturning Obamacare? They submitted bills. They had votes until they actually had the power in both houses of Congress and the president. They actually had the power to overturn Obamacare, to repeal Obamacare. And they didn't even try. They are just as corrupt as the Democrats. They're just corruption leans towards different outcomes, which is why I'm not at all surprised when I find this poll that shows that a majority of voters reject COVID vaccine mandates. A Trafalgar Group poll surveyed 1,000 likely voters in the 2022 midterms and found that 71% believed receiving vaccines should be a personal choice. 71%, 87% of Republicans, 67% of independents, and 59% of Democrats. Yet what's the government doing? What is your government in your name using your authority? What are they doing? They are pushing for vaccine mandates. Now, again, if the vaccine is so good, why must you bully people into taking it? Simple question. If the vaccine is that good, I mean, it's not a cost thing because most places are giving this stuff away for free. So if the vaccine is that good, why must you bully people into accepting it? Because it's not that good. And it does have a questionable history. And it does have unknown benefits and unknown risks. And people believe in the sovereignty of their body. That is their property, and you cannot deprive them legally of it without due process of law. So if anyone comes at me with a mandatory vaccine, guess what? They are an imminent threat of death or serious bodily injury. And I use those words for a reason. And the people who out there who recognize those words know why I use them. See, in every state in the nation, the trigger for being allowed, the legal use of lethal force is that there must be an imminent threat of death or serious bodily injury. You come at me with one of those needles, we're going to have a problem. So we have the vaccines that do not work as advertised, that are showing more and more risk than we were told, that a majority of Americans say should be a personal choice. And what is the reaction of these petty tyrants that we have hired to exercise our power? Well, New York City is instituting a mandatory COVID vaccination for restaurants, gyms, and performances. That's right. You want to go out for dinner, you got to show your papers in the communist hellhole of New York City. The tyrannical, despotic hellhole that New York. I was born in New York City. I still have family that lives in New York City. I used to love going to visit family. I used to love, there were times I'd love going down to New York City, go to see a show, go to visit different tourist locations. Heck, one of the best things I used to love about New York City, you get hungry, you walk out of the hotel, you pick a direction, you walk until something smells good, then you eat. I don't want to live there, but it's a wonderful place to visit. I wouldn't go to New York City today. I wouldn't trust them with anything. Why? Why would I go to a city that says, I do not own my body, that I don't have the right to decide for myself whether or not I want to protect myself against COVID? Oh, but the vaccine protects other people. Baloney. They've already done the testing. When you get, you still get COVID with the vaccine, and you still have the viral load, and you still shed viruses at the same rate. That is, so it doesn't protect anybody. And this petty tyrant, Mr. de Blasio, who's already subjugated his quote-unquote citizens, his subjects, his minions in New York City to a deprivation of freedom, of liberty, of their rights as American citizens, now is going to do it again. He's telling you, you do not have a right to liberty. He is depriving you of your liberty without due process of law. By the way, restaurant owners, gym owners, event coordinate owners, where you are hosting these events, Mr. de Blasio is depriving you of your property without due process of law. Because your business is your property. He's telling you how to run your business. He's telling you what must be done in your business. He is stealing your business from you. Are you going to stand for it? Are you going to stand for it? Are you going to become the Gestapo of New York City? Standing in front of your door going, show me your papers. No, I'm not being hyperbolic. If you wish to be free, one, you must live in liberty. You must not be let to live in liberty. You must demand for yourself that you live at liberty. You must challenge infringements on your rights and your liberty. You must stand up. And that comes with risk. Now, if you have a customer that doesn't want to come to your location because, well, they've got the vaccine and they're afraid they're going to be sick, that's their choice. But if you let a petty tyrant in Gracie Mansion tell you, deprive you of your business, you are a subject. You are no longer free. And this is the state of New York City. That once great city. The town so nice, they named it twice. Is now the toilet so foul, I won't go near it. Going back to the insanity coming out of Washington. The director of the National Institutes of Health, Francis Collins, he said, parents of unvaccinated kids should be thoughtful about this, and the recommendation is to wear masks there as well. I know that's uncomfortable. I know it seems weird, but it's the best way to protect your kids. Now, he came back and clarified. So let me clarify the message. The masking message that I garbled is in the morning. It says, vaccinated parents who live in communities with high COVID transmission rates should mask when in public indoor settings to minimize risk to their unvaccinated kids. Okay, I'm sorry. There's a point of ignorant of being educated into imbecility that just goes too far. See, if masks cannot stop the transmission of COVID, I know people say it does, but I'm sorry, the science says the exact opposite, and I thought we were following science. I thought the testing of the product showed that they cannot stop a vaccine. The vaccine is too small. Unless you get a medically designed mask designed specifically to stop viruses, it physically cannot stop the virus. You compare that with actual real-world evidence of states that lifted their mask mandates and did not see a super spreader event. So masks don't stop the spreading of COVID. They certainly don't stop the catching of COVID. So how in God's name is me wearing a face diaper in public that does not stop me from accumulating COVID, the COVID virus, protect my children at home? It is not a magic shield. This is idiocy. This is dumb beyond belief. I mean, you really have to be educated to get that stupid. Now, again, if you have children, if you or your children's medical situations dictates the wearing of masks, by all means do. Right? If your medical history, your medical condition, or your children's medical condition says that wearing a mask is beneficial or helpful, by all means do. I have no problem with that. But this buffoon who people trust simply because he's the director of NIH, he's a politician and a bureaucrat, telling you to wear a mask to protect your children. Oh, to save the children. Hogwash. Show me the evidence. You're making these bold claims. Show me the evidence, because I haven't seen it. And I've seen a lot of evidence that say masks are actually more damaging and lockdowns are more damaging and stay-at-home orders are more damaging, have caused more illness, more death than COVID. But you see, we keep looking for politicians to save us. Oh, please, Dr. Fauci, please, NIH, oh, please, FDA, save us. Oh, the FDA authorized a new antibody cocktail as a COVID prevention treatment. Oh, Lord FDA, save us. But again, this is an emergency use authorization. This has not been tested. This is not FDA approved. This is an emergency use authorization for a disease most people have a 98% chance of surviving. The emergency is completely created by the politicians. And you expect a political party to save us? So they've revised an emergency use authorization for Regen Cove. Basically, it's some, you know, antibody cocktail, but they can't even tell you what it's for. I guess it's for people who test positive for the virus, but it doesn't actually show that it treats someone who's actually showing symptoms. Tell me, do you trust the FDA to get this right yet? I know I don't, because I don't trust the politicians. And the FDA is a government agency. It is part of the government, which means it's run by bureaucrats. I'm sure there's some very nice people that work there. Same at NIH, same at NSAID, same at all of these agencies. I'm sure there are a lot of people that are very smart and have a lot of good information. But the leaders are bureaucrats and politicians, and I don't trust them. And I don't think you should trust them either. Judge for yourself, but based on what I have seen, these are not trustworthy people. And I'm not about to put my life or the life of my wife or my daughter in their hands, because they've shown themselves they're more interested in politics and in imagery than they are in actually caring about you or your family. Go to your doctor. Talk to your doctor, the one who knows your medical history, who knows your conditions. Make sure they're going to the data to see what your actual risks are. If they simply spout the party line, point them to the data. If they refuse to listen, maybe you should find another doctor. That's your choice. But if you're looking for a political solution, if you're looking for a politician or a political party to solve this problem, it is the political parties that have created this problem. Remember when everyone went nuts about hydrochloroquine? They said, oh my God, Trump told people to kill themselves with hydroxychloroquine. It hasn't been tested. Oh, my God. It's got 65 years of testing. No, not on COVID, but that it's safe to take. And the very same people that are trying to cram a vaccination down the throat of the American people are the same ones that 6 months and a year ago, or actually more like a year ago, were telling you you shouldn't trust the vaccine because the opposing political party helped develop it. The opposing political party put a program in place to help speed up its development. This has nothing to do with medicine. This has everything to do with politics and power and manipulation. A pox on both of their houses. And for all of those who want me to come speak to them, I get this a lot. I have Republican groups ask me to come speak to them, and I'll be more than happy to speak to them. But I'm not blowing sunshine up anybody's skirt. I despise the Republicans as well as the Democrats. As the way I look at it, I'm simply looking at one or the other is either a lesser evil, but they are both evil. Also, please check out constitutionstudy.com/tour. See if I'm coming to a location near you. Please join me. I'd love to meet you. I'd love to shake your hand. If not, put a request in at the bottom. You know, see if I can come out to a location near you. If you can support the tour, you can do so there as well. I would greatly appreciate it. I wanted to let you know that all of my shows typically go to podcast a day or two after the broadcast is heard on the radio. You can find them on Spotify, Stitcher, Pandora, and iHeart Podcast, basically anywhere you get podcasts. And if you do me a favor, go to Apple Podcasts, give me a subscription and a rating and a review, and then join me next time right here on the Constitution Study.
Paid bills, stay out of jail, love the neighbors, and have a few good friends.